HD Smartcast. You are listening to an HD Smartcast original.
Have you ever moved abroad for studies or work and found yourself constantly buying new home essentials only to throw them out when you move back home? It's a common experience for many of us. But did you know it's also a significant contributor to waste and environmental degradation? In this episode, we'll explore how a former student in the UK got the entrepreneurial itch and how she created an initiative that challenged the disposable culture in the home goods industry. Let's dive in. Welcome to A Circular Revolution, presented by Indian Youth Climate Network, a podcast that explores the innovative world of circular economy startups. This podcast is supported by European Union Resource Efficiency Initiative and UNICEF India. I'm your host, Ankita Bhava, in candid conversations with inspiring founders who are changing the game and making our future more sustainable. So, buckle up and get ready to join the loop as we dive deep into the world of circular economy. On today's episode, we've got Ismat Iman, who got so tired of seeing usable items go to waste during her time at the university that she co-founded Kipple in 2018. Kipple is an innovative company that creates shareable, sustainable starter kits for students. But Kipple is more than just a rental service for pots and pans. It's a movement to inspire wider industry change and reduce waste. After we are through with this conversation, I have no doubt that her insights and her passionate commitment to a circular approach to consumption will inspire a paradigm shift in the way we all view waste and sustainability. So, without any further ado, let's welcome Ismat to the show. Hi, Ismat. How are you?
Hi, Ankita. Thanks. Thanks for having me here. Really excited to talk to everyone in your audience. Thanks.
Great to have you on the show. I understand that you are currently in the UK, correct?
Yeah, I'm based in the UK and Kipple was also set up in the UK.
Kipple happened while you were pursuing your MSc. So my first question is, how did you manage to start such a successful venture while the rest of us were just struggling to make it through our coursework and deadlines? So what's the story behind it?
That's a really good question. And honestly, it was a huge, huge, huge effort. I won't lie. The story behind Kipple is that basically, my business partner and I, we became friends during our masters. As you said, I have an MSc in environmental impact assessment, actually. And towards the end of our masters, so just, you know, during our thesis time, while we were writing our theses, we were walking around campus and we saw these like mountains of waste that students had left behind after they'd left, you know, graduated and gone home. Mm-hmm. And it was just really disturbing because usme se jitni bhi like aadhi jo cheezein thi, they were still like absolutely fine, you know, they were still completely usable. And like people were looking at us funny because we were like going dumpster diving, you know, we were ek ek cheez ko utha ke dekh rahe the ki wo kis halat mein, and it was really shocking. And then we realized ki just 20 days after some of these students had left, new students would come and buy everything from scratch, and all of this stuff that we were seeing would be thrown away. And that just made us really angry. And so honestly, it was just that anger that fueled us to keep working. And because we realized that especially international students were coming, a lot of them were taking loans and things like that. You know, the affordability is a huge problem in the UK in higher education. And they were coming, they were buying absolutely like cheap and toxic cooking things from scratch when there was all this already like good quality usable stuff there. And so it was kind of a solution that just presented itself. And also, you know, there was this whole thing about Marie Kondo and all of that going on in 2018, you know, on Netflix. And I think a lot of people were just starting to explore minimalism. So I think it was also that kind of inspired us to start talking to other students about it. And very soon we realized that there's the potential for a circular company here.
So that's a really interesting perspective on the potential negative impact of the minimalist approach, which is also called what effect? Marie Kondo effect, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. So I'm actually really curious to hear how Kipple tackled this issue of waste and overconsumption. And what sets Kipple apart from other stores that offer the same kind of product?
So our biggest thing was that we were renting it. And that was a new thing in the UK and also in many parts of Europe. So the way that it usually happens is that people come and they can buy secondhand. But the way that we were doing it differently was that we were not selling anything. So the philosophy, the principle that we had at the very foundation of our company was that we didn't just want to tackle the waste problem, we wanted to tackle the consumption problem. We wanted people to think before they consumed something. Because of that, we did a lot of sort of marketing, awareness building. We worked with lots of different student charities, social enterprises. And the thing that really set us apart was two things. One, that we didn't, because we were not buying and selling secondhand goods, we really got to ensure the quality of our products. So we partnered with like-minded social enterprises that were sustainable, ethical, and used really high quality materials that didn't leak toxic stuff into your food or didn't put terrible polyester that was made in, you know, horrible factories into your bedding. We were conscious from the supply chain to the refurbishment and repair. And the second thing was because we owned our product, we were able to ensure that quality for our customers, and we were able to offer multiple usages of the same product. So our customers could choose to rent new, but they could also choose to rent used once. They could also choose to rent used twice or used thrice based on their affordability criteria, what they could afford. And I think that's how we did it very differently from other people, that we didn't leave the quality of our product into other people's hands and just buy and sell secondhand stuff. And also we partnered with a lot of other like-minded businesses to establish a sustainable supply chain.
I mean, the goal to not just sell the product, but the idea is commendable in itself. So could you also tell me a bit about what items were included in the Kipple rental kits?
So we included everything from, basically we did a lot of research. We went into student houses, we went into kitchens and thought about, जैसे आप नए घर में आ रहे हो, what are the things that you need to just get started? जैसे there was जैसे कढ़ाई, there was a pan for frying eggs, there was, you know, a water bottle, there was a chopping board, there was a set of knives, there was plate, there was two plates, you know, in case you wanted to have guests over and like wanted to share a meal with someone. There was like Tupperware so you could pack over your leftovers and put them in the fridge or take them to university for lunch the next day. There was also, what we used to do was, we did with international students, especially because you're coming, you have had a long trip there, and this is sort of your welcome into university. So we used to put a little packet of food and, you know, like a Maggie type of thing, and some chai, you know, tea bag, or, you know, like a small like chocolate, so that, you know, you have something to eat. But a lot of people actually arrive and they don't realize that UK mein na sab band ho jata hai 7-8 baje. And also we had bedding and, you know, pillow, duvet. We did also do baking kits. So people who were interested in baking could, you know, do a separate kit with baking. We also did a batch cooking kit. So if you wanted to make big batches of food, you could do like, we did like big pots and big pans for people who wanted to do that sort of stuff. So this is just a, you know, just an idea of what we sort of did.
It's pretty much what you need to survive.
Absolutely. Yeah. That was the idea, yeah.
Kipple, like, it's a very unique name. So how did that happen? I mean, the name, when I listen to the word, it just stays. And it kind of stays rent-free in my head. So how did that
come? The name comes from, actually, it's a sci-fi concept that was popularized in the 70s. Hmm. And the idea was that Kipple was the name given to rubbish. It was like this, you know, like futuristic scenario where we've generated so much waste as humanity that the waste gets a life of itself and tries to take over the planet. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of the idea of Kipple. The Kipple effect was that effect. It kind of had a negative connotation, but I wanted to reclaim the word, you know. It's from a 1968 novel called Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? Okay. But we actually ended up rebranding and we called ourselves Whilst because we realized that we wanted to be more in line with circularity. We wanted to be the company that was giving you your products whilst you need them. And then you could return them. And the idea was that the products would only be with you while you needed them, you know. And we realized that that word resonated with more people, even though I love Kipple and I will always love Kipple. Yeah.
And it's great how Kipple challenges the norm of our disposable culture by asking the correct question at the correct time. So Kipple happened to you because of your aggression. And I think for anyone listening, this could be a really good takeaway. Just by asking the right questions and thinking outside the box, we can create revolutionary solutions to some of our biggest problems. And Kipple is a great example of that. So speaking of challenges, Ismet, what are some of the challenges you faced while setting up and running Kipple?
So many, Ankita, where to begin? I think one of the key ones was obviously, being international immigrants in the UK. It's really hard not having any social capital. I think if you're in India or your business, there are a different set of challenges. I think in the UK, there's a lot of opportunity. But I think definitely in India, because you know more people, you have more connections, it's much easier to get stuff going. Whereas here, I think that was a huge challenge. And the way that we overcame that was by really throwing ourselves into building a community. And that we did by joining incubators. And I can't emphasize to other entrepreneurs, starting entrepreneurs, the importance of getting into the right cohort or having the right peer support with other businesses, especially other environmentally or socially minded businesses, to develop your community, learn from each other, go out there and find the people who are like-minded. They will give it to you right. They will tell you where you're going wrong, but also equally, you'll be able to learn from each other's mistakes. And then another key challenge was that we were just really challenging the status quo. And people are used to doing things a certain way. And there was a lot of criticism of our approach. A lot of people came to us and said, you're trying to rob students because you're selling them more expensive things. And they can just go into the near shop and buy like the cheap plastic Teflon pan and just, live with that. And so I think the big learning from that was that you have to pick your battles. Some people will never see the importance of what you're trying to do. The thing is that the world is the way it is because there are people perpetuating consumption, and it is a hard battle to fight with those people, because I think a lot of, especially people in power who are making important decisions, can't even imagine the solution you're talking about. There's a lack of imagination. When you're questioning this linear approach, ki aap kuch lo, usko use karo, aur phir phek do, ye hamare society mein, hamare brains mein bahut embedded hai. Aur India mein actually, hamare traditionally kafi hum circular hai, hum bahut, hamare jo grandparents hai, wo kitne achche se apni resource efficiency, hame kitna sikhaya hai unhone, but definitely bahut sare logon ke paas wo imagination hi nahi hai. And that was a huge challenge to communicate. I had to find ways to communicate the proposition, which was hard. But unfortunately, we realized that because of the current existing framework of circular business in the UK, which is, it's really hard for circular businesses to raise investment. Before COVID, 2018 to 2020, we launched, we piloted, we were able to raise grant funding to really, reach a lot of students across the country. So we had customers from London to Scotland, and we were growing really fast. And then just before the pandemic hit, we were hoping to raise investment. And what happened during the pandemic was that most investors decided to focus on their own portfolios. Unfortunately, we had to wind down our operations, especially because the pandemic totally disrupted our industry. Nobody was traveling. Students were not coming to the UK, as everybody knows. And so we unfortunately had to wind down our operations, but we've taken a lot of amazing learnings from the journey. And we are now working really hard to support other circular businesses and also get this legislation changed.
It's never easy to wind down a business, especially one that has had such a positive impact. But regardless of whether it's currently trading or not, it's always inspiring to hear about companies that challenge the norm and create solutions that are really the need of the hour. And Kipple's impact on waste reduction in the home good industry is a testament to that. Having said that, with the importance of circularity in mind, why do you think it's becoming increasingly crucial for businesses today to maintain a sustainable approach to their operations and have environmental and social values instilled in their vision?
I mean, to be completely honest, Ankita, I don't think there's any other option. I think if businesses continue the way they continue and consumers continue consuming the way they're consuming, particularly in the West, but in India, we're just following, in the footsteps of these countries like the US. And I think honestly, we don't have, you know, whatever, 2.5 planets. So that's one. I think that there's no other option. We're running out of time. The climate emergency is here. It is now. In the last year, we've seen more climate events than have ever happened before. I truly believe that people will consume better if we give them the options. I don't think the onus is on the consumer. I think we just need to do better as businesses. We need to provide our customers the options to make those choices. Because if we don't, then we can't blame customers on not making those choices. You know, people have enough to do with their 9-to-5s and the economy in this state and children to feed and, you know, school to go to. Like, bahut cheeze hai yaar hamare dimag mein. Like, only consumers can't bear the responsibility of making that choice. Businesses have to step up and provide those options. That's for the climate reason. And I think the other thing is that so far, businesses have made their profits and shareholders have made their profits on the basis of externalities. Environmental externalities and social externalities, which are basically exploitation. So we've been able to exploit the environment and we've been able to exploit labor in cheap countries and children and immigrants and poor people, and being able to make profits off of those margins. And I think that's not only should it end, but also I think it's ending. You know, more people are rising up, and I think businesses, it's high time. They were held accountable by their customers, but also they held themselves accountable and just change the way that business, you know, is done. I think when you hear the word business, I think in so many people's mind, it just means something negative. But honestly, to me, it's just a tool to do better.
This is something jo main usually episode ke end mein bolti hun, but guys, remember, it's all about joining the loop. And I hope all the businesses that are starting off remember these values and set them in their intentions. So Ismat Kipal is not exactly in the place where it was supposed to be and where it deserves to be. So looking ahead, what are your plans to continue promoting circularity?
So one thing, as I mentioned already, is that I'm a circular economy pioneer, a fellow at the Ellen MacArthur Foundation, which is, I think, UK's foremost institution for circular economy and circularity. So I'm working with them to hopefully build this campaign to get this legislation changed so that the UK and Europe can support more circular businesses. So that's one. The other thing is that I, in the process of Kipal, have realized how difficult it is to raise investment as an entrepreneur who is not from a privileged background or from a background of, you know, knowing people in the industry or having that social capital. And so I have now actually started working in a company called Big Society Capital, which is the UK's leading social investor and has the vision to bridge the gap for social enterprises and charities and increase the market for social investment. So now actually I work with investors to increase the amount of capital available to social enterprises and charities, and hopefully bridge the gap that I faced as an entrepreneur where I was struggling to raise investment. Hopefully I can change that for future entrepreneurs. And then I'm also mentoring circular startups, I think 3 at the moment, to help them not make the same mistakes that I did. So I think those are the things that are in the pipeline now.
It's the passion that'll keep you going, right?
Thank you.
Now, reflecting on your journey with Kipal as an entrepreneur, what are some valuable lessons you have learned along the way? And if you could share one golden piece of advice with someone looking to start their own sustainable business outside of India, what would it be?
My piece of advice is get out there and just do it. That is what we need. We need circular economy soldiers to get out there and start doing stuff. Whatever, in whatever small way, it doesn't need to be perfect. Just start. Honestly, it's okay if you fail. Like, I, after all these years, I'm not ashamed at all to admit that I failed. But the things that I got out of the journey and I got out of that failure have informed my approach and have informed my journey and are now enabling me and empowering me to help so many other people with their circular businesses and in their transition to a circular economy.
Done is always better than perfect. Mic drop.
Exactly.
Not dropping the mic right now because we have got like 2-3 more questions left for you, Ismat. Okay, so do you think that the business model of Kipal, is it scalable and adaptable to other countries as well? And can it be revamped sometime again soon?
I think it's absolutely scalable and adaptable. And I think the way that that would be done is to really understand the market. So for example, I don't think that Kipal in the way that it was in the UK would work in India. Simply because I think India mein itna khareedne aur phekne ka culture nahi hai. और जैसे हमारे घर में जो प्रेशर कुकर हम यूज करते हैं मेरे से भी ज्यादा बूढ़ा होगा बेचारा. एंड आई थिंक दिस इज द केस फॉर लॉट ऑफ पीपल, है ना. तवे, कढ़ाइयाँ, मतलब ये कितने सालों साल चलती हैं. आई थिंक इफ इट वॉज टू बी अडेप्टेड टू इंडिया फॉर एग्जाम्पल इट वुड बी अ वेरी डिफरेंट अप्रोच. आई थिंक द प्रोडक्ट वुड हैव टू चेंज. आई थिंक इट डेफिनेटली कैन बी डन, बट आई थिंक वट वुड नीड टू हैपन इज अ डीप स्टडी ऑफ द लोकल मार्केट एंड डू अ लॉट ऑफ मार्केट रिसर्च इन टू वॉट आर द स्पेसिफिक you know, barriers and challenges that your customers face in that environment. I think that's really important. We spent the first year just studying the consumption of our customers, just doing a lot of focus groups, lots of market research, just understanding, you know, because you're creating an experience and that's really important to know. People who are tech entrepreneurs are always thinking in this way, but I feel like us as product entrepreneurs, especially sustainable, like people who are, you know, more in towards a sustainable business, I think we forget. We get a little bit carried away with our values sometimes and we forget that this is a business at the end of the day and your customers have to have a positive experience. Just because you're selling something that's been used before doesn't mean it needs to be bad. You know what I mean? I think the key thing with scaling and adapting people to other countries would be really studying the available options for your customers in the local market and then also adapting your product to fit their needs.
So are there any specific qualities or traits that you believe are essential for someone who is looking to make an impact in the waste management industry today?
I think the only skill set is really that you have to be willing to get your hands dirty.
Right.
And I think the most important thing, especially in India, and I've worked a lot in waste management in India, I think especially in India, it's really important to recognize that the people that work in waste in India are extremely impoverished and extremely underprivileged and extremely marginalized. We treat our people from lower castes, from immigrant backgrounds, from refugee backgrounds, from, you know, rag pickers. We treat our people the way we treat our waste, literally. The biggest thing for someone looking to make an impact in waste in India is recognizing that the people that you're working with are completely are marginalized by the system, are extremely discriminated against, and they are actually the most skilled. So I've worked with women, you know, waste workers in Tamil Nadu, for example, that could identify, I think, at least 50 different types of plastics just by touch and smell and, you know, and they were waste workers, zero protective equipment, of course, as you can imagine, and completely illiterate. And they were the most skilled waste workers I could have imagined. I had so much to learn from them. So I think my biggest thing would be humble and recognize that you're going to work with some of the most impoverished communities in India and don't leave them out of your business plan. Your idea should not just revolve around the resource and the economy, the, you know, circular bit of this and consumption, but also completely revolve around creating dignified livelihoods and really working for the people that are working with waste, not just working with waste.
Before I let you go, Ismat, could you please let our listeners know if someone has a question for you, where can they reach out?
Look for me on LinkedIn. That's usually a good place to reach me. My name is Ismat Iman. You should be able to find me. There aren't too many people with my name, thankfully. But I'm also happy to be reached by email. My email is ismatiman@gmail.com. Relatively easy. And I'm very, very happy to have be reached out to for potential business entrepreneurs. Any ideas you have and you just want to have a call and talk through your idea and see the potential, I'm more than happy to be your sounding board. I'm more than happy to give you a vision, you know, to work towards, or also just be your reality check if that's what you're looking for. So please reach out to me.
Thank you so much, Ismat, for sharing your story and the inspiring work you do with Kipple and the amazing work you are still doing. Your dedication to sustainability and the circular economy is truly making a difference. Remember, it's all about joining the loop for a better future for all of us. Thanks for listening and remember to tune in next time for another fascinating conversation with a new sustainability innovator.
For more updates on a circular revolution, you can follow HT Smartcast and Indian Youth Climate Network on Instagram and LinkedIn. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.htsmartcast.com or suno naye nazariye se.
This was an HT Smartcast original.
HT Smartcast.